Spoilers and offensive content to come.
This is Carl's Dave Anime Rave, the best anime review and coronavirus
reaction show.
Coronavirus reaction show on the internet. And we are, before this whole COVID-19 thing hit, actually fairly soon after it came out in theaters, we went to go watch the dub of My Hero Academia Movie 2, Heroes Rising. This is a very late review on that, but we've had time to process and digest it and rewatch it. So, Davaneel, My Hero Academia Heroes Rising, I really liked this movie. This movie gave me everything I wanted out of a My Hero Academia movie. It gave us Class 1A, all of them getting to do their thing without being overshadowed by anyone else. It gave me Bakugo moments, and I love Bakugo, so I got what I wanted there. It gave me Bakugo Deku moments, and I love that pairing of heroes, so I got that. It gave me cool fight scenes, amazing animation, generally just a fun time at the movies. And it even took place a little bit later after the show, after where the animated series is at. So we got a bit of a forward-thinking OVA. My Hero Academia Heroes Rising was really, really good to me, and I enjoyed watching it in theaters. Thank you very much for treating me, by the way.
No problem. We also saw it in that special type of theater.
Yeah, which we realized after the seats started moving that this was going to be a very
interactive,
visceral experience. Because the seats started moving, lights happened when Nine would crash his lightning, and they started blowing wind, and I'm like, oh wow. I had to hang on because I was in danger of slipping out of the seat. It was like a roller coaster.
I gotta admit, I think I'd actually look at doing that same kind of experience if they did another MHA movie, because other than the lightning strobe effect, every other effect I loved, especially the wind to cool you down.
I was fine with it. The only issue is, again, because of my frame and the seat, I was in danger of slipping out of the seat when it happened. So I got a tiny bit of a workout staying in the seat as we were watching the movie. Just a little bit of abdominal crunching. Just a little bit. So that was definitely, and that was a surprise because I don't think either of us expected it.
Well, I mean, the trailer started, all of a sudden we heard a and our seat didn't move. So at first we were wondering if maybe we were too fat and we were weighing it down. and then the next commercial came on and ours actually managed to click and start moving. And we're like, okay, this is going to be interesting.
I do think those seats need to have an off button because, you know, for people like me who are about to slip out of it, or for, you know, people who might have gotten ill. I think I saw a few people walk out.
The only problem with that, though, is that it's done in banks of four. It wasn't individual. Like, it was our entire four-seat platform that was moving in those ways, so you can't just turn one off.
Oh, well, it didn't take away from the movie. Like, I was enjoying the whole movie, too, right? So
yeah.
I definitely thought Nine could have been a better villain. Ultimately a throwaway villain who was there really just to advance the League story.
Mm-hmm.
And him and his crew of cronies weren't really all that interesting, except Wolf Guy, who was way more badass than he had any credit, any right to be. But ultimately, you know, I still got a lot of good stuff in this movie. I got a lot of the relationships I like to see. I got to see characters actually shining and not get overshadowed, so it was good stuff.
Now, there's the one ender event that ultimately is the basis of this reason for this podcast.
Yeah?
Well, the Deku handing off one for all to Bakugo.
That's right. Hey, Kacha, I got a crazy plan. And Bakugo's expression told a bazillion words, man. Because he knew what Deku was planning. He knew Deku was giving up his dream. But he knew that would win. And that's Bakugo's thing. He wants to... He doesn't believe heroes should ever lose to villains. So we got to see something I don't think we're ever going to see again. And that's a one-for-all powered Bakugo at full power. holy shit. Remember when he kind of was looking at that rock wall and he just put his hand up to it and it started just melting out of his way?
He just pushed it out of his way? That was awesome.
Yeah, that fight was absolutely incredible. Every time Deku and Bakugo were fighting Nine, it was a good scene.
Yes.
Although most of the fights were good. Like, we had Ashido doing her acrobatic flips around the stupid needle hair woman.
Oh, and then when she got stabbed by the multiple needles and went down and it pissed off.
We both cringed at that. Oh. We were like, oh, God.
It didn't help that when she got impaled, our seat basically snapped back.
Yeah.
It just, oh, God. Like, they all got really fucked up.
Oh, yeah, they did. We got to see Ball Guy tear out his head, basically, to stop people. Ball Guy has applications for his power.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad he's Ball Guy.
Uh-huh. That's the problem. But I like how they showed how the entire class was integrating into this town to help them.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that a lot. And then just the lengths that they went to try and protect the townspeople was, it just fits so well. Now, as far as your comment there about this is probably the last time we're going to see a full-powered all-for-one-for-all Bakugo, I don't think so anymore.
Oh, yeah?
I think one of Deku's powers is going to be a sharing.
Which means we'll probably see it on more than just Bakugo, then.
I'm thinking we're going to eventually see an entire Class 1A powered-up one for all. Because, I mean, it's in the very name of the power. So I think this is not the last time we're going to see this.
It could be a hint at the future. One thing that these movies are is that the manga creator, I had his name memorized after and then I forgot it.
It's okay.
He definitely, he works on these movie plots too. And he wants them to tie into the series timeline, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anything in these movies counts. And definitely that counts as for what could be, right? We had Nine mentioned in the most recent comic arc because they're invading the laboratory he came from in that arc right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And Dave, honestly, that's a good bet. I'll be surprised if that doesn't happen. It's going to be a situation where, yeah, one for all gets shared with the whole class, and we get to see everyone at full power.
God, can you imagine that?
Oh, man. Just some applications. Like, basically, Electric Guy is going to have, like, he's going to have a field day blasting giant beams of electricity. We're going to have Todoroki just pulling a half Bakugo and a half Iceman at full power. Like... There's going to be a lot of good scenes. We'll have Ingenium running at the speed of light. Like, we'll have him temporarily being the Flash.
Yeah, there's so many applications. Even Ball Guy.
Ball Guy powered by One for All. So basically, he'll do what Naruto did to Gaara when Naruto cloned himself like 400 times.
Uh-huh.
And he overwhelmed Gaara by sheer numbers.
Yeah, like there's so many things that could be amazing in all these characters.
Yeah, I agree. The movie had its problems. The villain was weak. Obviously, there's a bit of a plot hole of they know the League of Villains has targeted this class. Why the hell are they being left on an island alone? But otherwise, we got tons of good animation. We got a lot of character development on the hero side of things. The new characters that they added to kind of play off of Deku and Bakugo, that boy and girl,
mm-hmm.
who ultimately became Deku and Bakugo's biggest fanboys and fangirls.
Yeah, that was funny.
Like, they definitely helped the plot along. There was a lot of issues in the first movie that I thought got addressed here, but the villain isn't one of them. It's just sad that we have Shigaraki, who has... I hated Shigaraki at first, back when he was first introduced, and I love him now. He's such a good villain now that it's just a shame we can't somehow have him as the villain of this movie get defeated but not die. Like, 9 was just a weaker Shigaraki. If they were going to go for someone who was just throwaway, they could have been more flamboyant. He could have been more of a Joker or Riddler-like character with the same powers, but someone who was just a joy to watch instead of being this just another well-intentioned extremist who ultimately was boring.
And that's just it, is Nines could have been so much more interesting if he had been, say, a hero who went bad.
Any depth to his character other than, you know, he has some vague ties to the League of Villains and is like mini Shigaraki. Like, I was happy when Shigaraki showed up at the end and just murdered him. I was like, yeah, good, fuck this guy.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah.
I mean, Nines being able to have 9 powers. I mean, what I thought they were going to end up doing is he's going to go to absorb the kid's powers. The girl would jump in and he would absorb, you know, the girl's power instead. And all of a sudden he's locked to his 9 powers and he can't get anymore. Therefore, making him go rage out of control and do some stuff. Now, right there, I've just given it more of an impact.
I mean, ultimately, I don't think it matters. If that had happened, that wouldn't have fixed 9 being boring.
True.
Like ultimately, 9 needed to be more of a character, and 9 was not a character. And 9's minions, other than Wolf Guy, weren't really characters either. So,
I mean, hell, one of them got taken out in the first act.
Well, yeah, and that's perfect, because that guy had no personality other than he was a bit of a dick, and he got out-dicked by Bakugo. Like, I'll show you what a real jack off is like.
Oh man! But yeah, that final battle is just a epic ass kicking to watch.
Oh, it was good.
And I'm watching this, and I'm watching the terrain basically blow up due to Bakugo, Deku's attacks, the 9s hitting the ground and making impact craters. And I'm just like, you know, this used to be a historic monument / fort from the past. Now it's a smoking crater. There's nothing left. Like, from all the explosions and everything else, there can't be anything left to this ruin.
Was this movie the first time we saw Hawks animated or heard him at all? Yeah, I thought so. I didn't think we saw Hawks before.
Actually, we saw him for about 5 seconds in a single episode of season 4.
But we hadn't heard his dub voice yet.
Hadn't heard his dub voice, hadn't actually seen him in motion, nothing.
Man, I sure hope the dub of this show continues.
It's going to. Funimation has confirmed season 5 already.
Good, good.
It's just time.
Yeah, COVID-19 is fucking everything up. And I do hope, though, that the animators and showrunners do what they can to stay safe and don't push it because fucking, you know, their lives depend on it. I don't want them to die trying to get episodes to us during a global pandemic. I don't want them to die getting episodes to us, period. Mm-hmm. So do we have any more to say about My Hero Academia Heroes Rising?
No, I think that's just about it. This movie was awesome. It was better than the first movie, definitely.
I agree. A really good movie. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
And unlike holes in the first movie, this one could completely fit in, and I'm not going to call it canon because that's nonsense, but this one doesn't have as many or really any powers that pop up that we're not going to see later or any artifacts or anything else. This one just fits.
Well, it is in canon, quote unquote. I'm the one lately who's been saying canon doesn't exist, which is more of a statement of people needing to not care about it. This does fit into the comic and show timeline.
Yeah.
But even if it didn't, I would have had a blast.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, my number one piss off from the first movie is that glove that Deku had.
They couldn't rebuild it.
Bullshit.
It could come up later. You never know. The first movie, though, I still liked because we got to see America. We got to see where All Might got his love for America and mm-hmm. that he trained there for a whole lot of time. We got to see him have a real friend who I believe is his friend and whose motivations made complete sense. So, Like, the first movie had its pros. Even if I like this one better, the first movie is hardly bad.
I've watched them both here again recently, and I love that. I love the battle to end part one. I love some of the characters that popped up and everything else. It's a good movie. It just, in the same frame as Naruto, it added stuff that then the TV series never uses.
Yeah, and I hope that gets remedied, because yeah, it's nice to see. It's nice to see when the movies fit in. Or hell, even if they decide to make the movies how they present the story, like, what's the stupid, what's the one with the samurai kid with the scar on his head?
That Shonen show? Demon Slayer?
Yeah, in Demon Slayer, the next arc is animated as a movie, and then yep. The arc after that is going to go back to being a TV show, one would assume, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see them treating movies as a real medium to deliver this and not just be throwaway stuff. But regardless, I would have had fun either way.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing. I have lots of fun with My Hero Academia. I think it's probably the number one show that I am having fun with when it comes to anime.
It's a really good show, and it's a really good manga as well. Have you been keeping up?
Yes.
Did you read yesterday's?
That I have not. What happened? Well,
I think a character might have died who I didn't want to see die, but I haven't read the English translation yet. I just read the raw non-English one.
Oh.
So we'll see. We'll chat about that a little more after you've read it. But do we have more to say on this video, this audio, this whatever we call it?
No, I think we're good.
Okie doke. Folks, what did you think of My Hero Academia, Heroes Rising, the second movie, or even the first movie, or the show in general? Let us know. Visit us at animeriv.xyz and leave us your comments. And stay safe in the midst of global pandemic.
Sounds right.
Goodbye.